we're cute again. I ain't got to the old age cuteness yet, but I'm thankful to the Lord. So they everything they asked her to try to find out what's wrong with her. She give them some kind of funny answer. So see, she's just cute. They trying to heal her because they don't know what's wrong with her when she fell and lay on the floor for maybe 8 hours. Don't know how she got there, how she got up. So, but we're thankful to the Lord that He blessed us to get this far. And I hope I live long enough to be cute again. But we're gonna read from Psalm 111 verses 1 through 10. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for this privilege and opportunity, Lord, you've given out to us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that you would touch our hearts, Father, and uplift them. Open them up, Lord, that we may receive the words that come forth. Lord, for this hour is a late hour. Lord, many things have passed, Lord, that if we wait, Lord, we'll be left behind. God, we ask you to help us. Father, when you call for us to come up higher, you, Lord, that we are ready to go. God, we ask you because at that time it's too late to correct anything. So, Lord Jesus, touch our hearts, Father. Correct all in us, Lord, that is and that shouldn't be. God, help us, and we ask you to remember those who are not here this morning, Lord, that are sick. God, that your holy word will go down to them and touch them and lift them up. Jesus, we thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation.
The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein.
His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He has given meat unto them that fear him, and he will even be mindful of his covenant.
He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen.
The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness.
He sent redemption unto the people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent in his name is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have they all that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Amen. God bless you.
This time we're going to worship the Lord and tithes and offerings this morning. I have Brother Kern, if he doesn't mind, come and help us this morning. Just want to, if I can, give a little testimony. I have a friend, co-worker, and he name's Jack, and we requested prayer for him. He's been probably a year and a half, maybe something like that. But he had cancer of the esophagus, and they had to take his esophagus out. And they had to reattach his stomach because he doesn't have an esophagus to attach it. And he was really, really bad and lost a lot of weight, got real sick, but kept a positive attitude. He's a Christian, and he's just been having his faith in the Lord, and had a real positive confession the whole time, and it just took him a while to get over that, but turned the corner, done real well, got back to work, put on weight, And everywhere he went, he was out testifying what the Lord had done for him. And a few months ago, he said, "I just started to feel different." He said, "I didn't," and he was afraid that the cancer had come back, which he was telling me there's a little test that they can do. And then the test results, your normal human should be somewhere around zero or close to zero. But he said if that number gets up to 20, he said they can tell, but that number getting up to 20, he said they can tell there's cancer cells there. He went and had the test done, and it was 668. But he said he didn't lose his confession. He said because the Lord brought him through the first time, the Lord will bring him through again. And so he's every time he gets a new test result, he brings them to me. So his first one was 668. The next one was 354. The next one was 150-something. And he brought me one the other day, and it's down to 16. Amen. And so, thank the Lord. He's got one more test result. And I told him, I said, "Well, I'll mention that to the church. Y'all just pray." His next test, he said he expects it to be zero. So, just thank the Lord. I said, "Well, you give the Lord, you know, we give the devil a black eye the first time. We give the devil a black eye the second time." So, we appreciate the Lord and his blessings. And just wanted to pass that on. Brother Kermit, come.
Father God, it is indeed a privilege, Lord, to be assembled here this morning. For we know, Lord, it's not by chance, but by your choosing, Lord, Father. Yes, we pray, Lord God, all the people that are gathered here, those on the internet thereof, that you'll bless them in a special way. Bless Brother Wade as he comes to minister the word, Lord. May we have the right mental attitude, the attitude like that brother there that was just testifying about, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that the word will accomplish that what it set out for. We ask, Lord, that you'll bless these tithes and offerings. Bless those hands that could give, those that cannot give, Lord. May be used for the furtherance of your ministry. We ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing number 187 in the spiral book. Amen.
That God should love a sinner such as I, should yearn to change my sorrow into bliss, nor rest till he had planned to bring me nigh. How wonderful is love like this! Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that Christ should join so freely in the stain, although it meant his death on Calvary. Did ever human tongue find nobler thing than love divine that ransomed me? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this, that for a willful outcast such as I, the Father planned, the Savior bled and died, redemption for a worthless slave to buy, who long had law and grace defy. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this! And now he takes me to his heart, a son. He asks me not to fill a servant's place. The far-off country wanderings are all done. Wide open are his arms of grace. Jesus, I'll stand. Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this? Such love, such wondrous love, such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this?
Amen. What wonderful love the Father has showed upon us. Amen. As Brother Wade comes this morning, let's sing a song. Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Lord, I want to see you.
To see you,
see him today, then he'll give you the desire of your heart. If you come to see each other, that's okay, but let's see the Lord first, and let's see the Lord in each and every one of us. So turn around, shake somebody's hand, and say, God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to have each and every one of you with us. Remember, Brother Bob, is it Brother Larry Harris today, and he's preaching for him, and Brother Joe Canada, they're on vacation. And several that are out, we sure miss them.
Amen.
We appreciate the ones that are here that have got back, Brother Luis, and different ones that were gone last weekend. We're sure looking for a good time in the Lord. And we know one thing's for sure, the devil's on a rampage.
Yes,
he don't like us. We don't like him either. That's kind of weak. We don't like him either. Amen. Sometimes you do, as Brother Dale's always said, you kind of feel sorry for the guy but you know, it was his choice. It was his choice to be who he was. He was the anointed cherub. He was going to be God's right-hand man. And boy, you see how that turned out. His own will came up, and iniquity was found in him. So, wow, man. Could that be the same with me and you? Because we'll look at it today. You know, one thing's for sure, Satan can't condescend. He's haughty. He wants to be on the mountain. He wants the side of the north. He wants to be God. He don't want to be like God now. He wants to be God. He wants to sit on his own throne, have his own. And we'll talk about that today, because selfishness comes in to this being brotherly kindness. So by way of announcements, you remember Brother Joe and then Brother Bob. And remember, Brother and Sister Dale, thank you for coming to prayer service last night. We had a good time in the Lord, always peaceful time to come and just let the world be out there and then come in here and be in the shelter of the Almighty. So we sure appreciate that. Remember, on July the 1st at 5 o'clock, that's this coming Saturday, we will have start our annual meeting. That will be at 5 o'clock. Brother Richard Douglas will be with us. Brother Jewel Forney, we need to remember him in prayer. He's in the hospital. He's got several issues and a lot of weakness. Talked to him yesterday, and he just says to get somebody else because if he was even out of the hospital, he might not be strong enough. So let's pray for their congregation, too. Pray for their church. But Brother Richard Douglas, everybody knows Brother Richie, Big Brother Richie. He'll be with us. And at 5 o'clock on July the 1st, July the 2nd, Brother Mike Olte will be here. Actually, he'll be here Saturday with us at the meeting. Sister Lisa and Brother Terrence have menus back there. If you're going to be here, we announced this the other day. If you're going to be here next Sunday, we will have a catered meal after the first service. And what it is, it's a truck that's going to be out here, and they're going to make, we're just going to have hamburgers, hot dogs, chicken tenders, kind of like a July the 4th, you know, backyard barbecue almost, you know, or a backyard get-together. So that's what we're going to do. But there's menus back there. Every individual person that's going to be here needs a menu, all right, not just family, because you have to put condiments. You have to put, if you want fries, cheese fries, chili cheese fries. I'm hungry. I told him, I said, I'm going to try to lose about 5 this weekend, Sister Lisa, because I may burn my points, my Weight Watchers points on them chili cheese fries, because I did circle them. The devil made me do it. No, let's don't blame him for that. I did it. But just remember, if you're going to be here next Sunday afternoon after first service, see Brother Terrence and Sister Lisa, and let's get your menu down, because Anna needs to give some of them to the man tomorrow, and then Wednesday is the deadline to get your to get them in so that the man can have everything prepared here, so you won't have to wait like a McDonald's. They'll pre-make your order while we're having service, and it'll be good and hot for you. They do have really good food. We've ate it before, and actually they were the ones that catered our Valentine's banquet. All right, so they did a really good job there. So let's make sure that you get the menus and get written down what you want and get them in to Terrence and Lisa today, or at least by Wednesday. All right, also remember July 14th, 15th, 16th, the deadline is over to go to Tennessee at Brother Andre Head's. But if you'd like to go, you need to let us know. But we're getting the rooms Tuesday. Brother Andre's out of town right now. But Tuesday we're going to get the rooms. It'll be there close to Johnson City. And they'll be really nice, and it'll be, I think we're going to have to get 15 rooms because there's 53 of you going, and we sure do appreciate that. And they do, too. I know you don't know the background, a lot of you don't, but that brother Woodby, Brother Charlie Woodby, and Dad were friends for many, many years back in the 70s. That's where they met Brother Richard Wilson, because that was Brother Woodby's brother-in-law. All right, so they all had a church there in Irwin. And we used to go, every month we would go, or they would come down here. But most time we'd go up there because they were a big group of them at that time and not very big here. So they became really good friends. And then this is the kids and grandkids, and some of them are still the ones that were there that knew us when we were kids. They're still there. They're just older. And Brother Andre is the pastor there now. Brother Woodby passed away. And Brother Andre Head's the pastor there. So we're going to go up there and have a youth service, but it's going to be a service for all of us on Friday. We'll have just fellowship Friday with some cold sandwiches and stuff. Saturday, we'll have Brother Joe and Brother Andre's working on the whole day of activities. And then Saturday afternoon, about 5 o'clock, Brother Joel Brown from Brother Donnie Reagan's church, he'll be there with us to do the youth service part, all right? And then the next day on the 16th, I'll be speaking the Sunday morning. There will not be a Sunday afternoon service, and we will stay over. The ones that want to stay over, you need to let me know. Some of you already have. There's a place called the Farmer's Daughter, and it's a really good place to eat. It's Amish-owned, meat and three. Tony's going to love it. This place is just good. I'm talking about they take it from the field into the restaurant if it's, you know, during season. But it's a real good place to eat. But if you want to stay and eat after the service is over, they've reserved a place for about 50 people in the back of the restaurant, and you're sure welcome to come. Now, remember, the church will be paying for your rooms, but you'll have to get your own transportation. You can carpool together and your own food. You shouldn't have to have too many meals outside of that. And then your gas and your meals, you'll have to take care of all that. So we sure do appreciate all of you that are going. 53, that's pretty good. Like I said before, Brother Andre said, oh, bro, wait, we can handle a group. I said, we got 50 people coming. He said, oh, bro, wait, we've only had a group to us is 10. I said, well, they 53 of us coming, so you better get you, you know, put your big britches on and get the big mule out, get the big horse out, you know. So, but they're already working. Well, I talked to Brother Andre yesterday. They're already working and getting stuff ready to go. So, and we need to pitch in and help when we get up there. It's not just a vacation time where we just go and sit. No, we need to pitch in and help them because they are a very small church, and we're bringing twice as many as what they have in church service. So, you know, that's going to put a little strain on them, but we sure do appreciate that. We want to invite all of you to talk to each other about who to ride with and different things and carpool together if you wish to. But I do need to know if you're going to stay over for a farmer's daughter, all right, and eat afterwards because we need to know. The lady needs to know, all right? Also, remember Bethel Camp. I think Brother Ryan, he talks so low, I can't hear him. So you need to talk a little bit louder. Learn from your daddy, okay? But the Bethel Camp, remember, go online and please, we want to participate as a church. If you can take a couple of days off or see it in your heart to work on maybe a Saturday or a Sunday, they need 40 people to help in the kitchen because they're going to have 300-something kids. But there'll be 40 people in the kitchen because this year, the camp they're at now, or this year coming up, no one helps in the kitchen, so they pretty much got it all. They don't have camp kitchen help, all right, like they did at the other one. But this one, I know some of you already signed up to be counselors and different things, but we want to support them. We're actually probably the closest church that's affiliated with Brother Jason Watkins. We're the closest church to it up there in Traveler's Rest, just about an hour and 15 minutes from here. So we can. It's like 4 hours for them, so they're having to haul all their stuff up there. So let's kind of take the burden off. If you see it in your heart, go to Bethel Camp. I think it's Youth Camp, Bethel Youth Camp. Go on Facebook. You'll find it, and there'll be a space there for you to sign up for kitchen help. All right? Go in there and put your name in it, and let's help them out, okay? I'm going to try my best to be there maybe a day or two myself. So also remember July 29th. We're working on having a Saturday singing and dinner on the ground. I've talked to several people about coming. We'll not discuss that now. But July 29th on Saturday at 4 o'clock. And then about 6 o'clock we'll have some maybe some soup and sandwiches or something like that. And then we'll have another session of testimony. If you want to work on songs, bring your instruments. And we'll have a day of worship, all right? I'm going to try to get a brother to come, which is a good singer. And never heard him preach before, but I'd like Brother Brother Dwayne Jackson from Brother Joe Green's church. I'm going to try to get him to come and minister for us. And he's also a very good singer. So let's just keep that in prayer. All right, all minds clear. Let's jump into the Word of God. We're still on the Son of Man. I want to bring out something that maybe will help each and every one of us today, and we pray that that you'll pray for the ones that are sick. That's just burden on my heart the whole week about people that are sick that can't get here. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we've sung the songs, we've done all the ordinances of the church. Lord, now Father, we bow our heads to ask you, Lord, to come among us in a special way. Bring your anointing, Lord, to each one of us. Just bathe us and saturate us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, may we feel your presence, Lord, and even if we don't, we know the word has already been anointed. Father, I pray that you would bless us as we speak your word, Lord, and as we hear your word, Father, that you would be with each one that's in the sound of my voice, Lord, the ones on the internet, the ones that are home, the different ones that are clicking in, Father. I pray that you'd be with them, Father, wherever they are. Be with the ones here in this building. Lord, ever forgive us of our sins, Lord, and let us be mindful, Lord, that you're always with us, and you said you would never leave us and never forsake us. So whatever we're going through today, Lord, you will be there with us. Just bless us now in the furtherment of this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read our familiar scripture. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh, and it's continuing to be made flesh. I want us to see that. That's a continuing, that what didn't just happen 2,000 years ago and gone bye-bye. No. It's happening, like as I'll read you in a minute, Brother Bram said, deity fell on the day of Pentecost, and it's still falling now. All right, so we're going to believe that. We call it the Holy Ghost, but it is deity. All right, it's part of the deity of the what people call the Trinity or the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right, that's what we're looking at. We're not looking at three different people, but we're looking at an anointing. Then we're looking at the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is not exactly an anointing in itself. It's a person. It's the birth part. Then you have anointings or refillings or you see up here on the top of the pyramid. We'll get to that. That's why I want to kind of, what the old expression, I want to prime the pump. Get the pump primed so you be thinking about that. Because the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost on a group of people. It birthed them. It went inside of them. And they became different people. And that's when the Word of God became alive in flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You can go ahead and have your seat. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. Brother Luis did a great job today. A good job, man. And he did. I like it when people enjoy speaking. I like that. Peter says, and besides this, in other words, besides what I just told you, besides the new birth, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And then as Brother Louis said, if these things be in you, what? And abound. They will make you, they will turn you into Jesus Christ in human flesh on the face of this earth. Amen. With the characteristics of God, not just anointing you, we'll talk about that in a minute, but living inside of you. That's the whole difference of a nominal Christian, which can be anointed, which can be an anointed one, which can be a foolish virgin, but they are just anointed by temporary anointing. You and I are, if you're born again today, you don't have a temporary anointing. You are the anointing. You are part of that anointing that is falling, and Joel promised it'd fall on all flesh. Listen, these people, these singers, the rappers and all that, they're all anointed. They're anointed to do what they're going to do. They have been anointed. But remember, it's a perverted anointing. Theirs is. And it's something that comes on them and comes off of them. As we're going to see in the Old Testament, that's exactly what happened to that group of people. So let's just remember that as we continue on. Colossians 1 verse 21, to you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, you now has he reconciled. So we come to the new birth. We've been reconciled back to Christ. And we don't have just an anointing, like I said before. We have that person inside of us. Yeah. Then he's going to work himself out. But you and I, as human beings, we need these different anointings. I always enjoyed, Brother Homer anyway, but all the times we were going to the camp over there in Alabama for about 8 years, June and I were counselors, and Brother, he'd have Brother Ron Spencer or Brother Danny Steeman be up there preaching, and then when they get finished with the service and get ready to start praying for people, Brother Homer would step up. He said, okay, now the anointing has changed. See, there was anointing of preaching. Brother Brown had an anointing of preaching. Why didn't he just flow right on in? No, he said, hey, I'm waiting on him. Why? He was waiting on another anointing to come for the time. So the anointing for the time to pray for the sick is now on the preacher, is what Brother Homer would say. So come up, let's come up for prayers for salvation. The preaching's over. Seeds have been planted. The ground's either good, bad, or indifferent. All right, let's reap the benefits. So the anointing of the prayer for the sick or the prayer for... Hey, when you say praying for the sick, we always think sick. If you're not born again today, you are sick.
Yes.
Your soul is sick.
That's right.
So we have a healing of the soul first, and then we have a healing of a body. So in the body of his flesh through death to present you. Now, he died. We'll look at it in just a few minutes, and I'll get back to what I said. Because remember, God is the only one that will come down to get us.
Yes.
He's the only one that will condescend down to get man and not be selfish. Satan will never condescend down. Never. He's got a haughty spirit, a selfish spirit. Where does all that contrary spirit come from? Does a contrary spirit come from the Lord? It can't. So everything that comes that way negative comes from the devil. That's an anointing that he puts on us. And as Brother Branham says, and we'll read if we get to it, he got a selfish spirit on him. The prophet. If you'll read the message of the hour, he was the most transparent man that ever lived.
Right.
Never kept a secret, thank God. He'd tell you that he was almost a murderer. That he almost committed suicide.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. That he's got complexes.
Yeah.
That he wanted to just go back in the woods and stomp out. And the Lord said, no, that's not you. That's not what I want from you. This is what I want from you. I want you to be with the people. But he says here he has a selfish spirit on him. That's all of our problems. But see, Satan, he doesn't want to deal with none of that. He wants to stay up here. But God's going to condescend down. The Lord can do that. He knows how to get low. So that what? He can take us high. Satan just wants to stay up there and then drag you down. That's what's so interesting. He wants to be the God of this age, but everything he touches, he destroys. Amen. And he's destroying us now in our body. I was looking at Dad and the different ones. You look at the body, and our bodies are just dying. There's nothing you can reverse at the moment. Because even Brother Branham, Brother Dow was 92 years old. And he was almost dying. Well, he was dying, and Brother Branham announced that he would shake his hand again on the street or at the tabernacle, right? Remember that? Well, whatever happened to Brother Dow, just that little piece got turned back. Whatever that was. He still was 92. He still couldn't get out of a car very fast. He still died. All right? But so now what we're looking at is the anointing on the end time today is that we don't have to fool with that kind of a devil, and we can just say, hey, I like what Brother Colley, he said, don't tell people I died. Christians can't die. Brother Colley died a long time ago when he was a young man, young skinny guy used to come to church here. Where'd that man go? He's still there. He just protected by layers. Me too. All of us. Hello, somebody. But he died a long time ago. You can't kill a Christian. If you'll see it that way.
Amen.
So to present you whole. Now how do we see that way? God came and did it.
Yes.
So that we could see it that way. Satan's not going to ever let you see it that way. He's always going to be the negative guy. Always the you're hurting and you're dying and you got this and you got that. Just remember, if you're a Christian today, everything that Satan heaps on you is going to be heaped back on him. Amen? It's going to be heaped back on him, and then we're going to live for an eternity in wonderful bliss. And guess what? He's going to bear every iniquity. He's going to bear every pain. He's going to bear every demon that was turned loose on us is going to be turned back loose on him. But now we're looking at the Lord. He's going to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Look, if you continue, if you continue in the faith, settled and grounded, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under the sun, whereof I, Paul, have been made a minister. I was thinking yesterday, you take all this group of ministers we got. Yeah, we know Brother Dale's not preaching now, and he's going through some issues, and we're all praying that will be resolved. But think of the group of people. Might as well give a rose because I'm a recipient of it, and so are you. Think of the people that Brother Dale, that he's I won't say that he spawned a group of people underneath him.
Amen.
That really knows the truth of Daniel 70 weeks, the truth of the seals, the truth of the different things. And then now they're out. And now then, see, they're out preaching. You know, they're out preaching the word of God. So it didn't return void. It accomplished all those years of breaking every A and D. And all sometimes we get bored and we fall back and we go to sleep and all these different things because he wasn't some fiery, you know, bringing it, you know, and hellfire and brimstone. But he was planting something inside of a group of people. All right? And I promise you, Brother Richard Wilson will agree with you. Brother Jimmy Harris will agree with you. Brother Dean Gibby will agree with you. All those different ones that are out there. They will agree that they were helped by Brother Dale's ministry. So it's not diminished. It's just more. That's the problem with Satan. He tries to destroy that, cut it off, and God said, no, I just got it in somebody else. No, I just got it in 70 others. No, not just you, Moses. I got 70 people. Hold on, Elijah. Don't be grumbling. I got several thousand hid away that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I have a group of people that set away that doesn't take all the garbage in this message. Hello, somebody. All right, and tries to shove it down to people's throat. We've been taught well, so we're going to continue on. Somebody's going to make it. We are going to make it, and we are going to be this what he said right here. Through the ministry, you're going to be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. And listen, that's not waiting until we get over there. Here's where we conquer. There's where we enjoy the victory. Here's where we conquer. Right here. Start today. This is your day of your salvation. Today the gospel has come to you in power and demonstration. Oh, sometimes we don't think so. Sometimes we think we have boring meetings, but guess what? The word will not return void. It will accomplish in somebody something that he has already planned, and you just open yourself up and you what? Today you bring good ground. Right. Or either you brought stony ground. That's what or you brought ground that's totally dry. Because you hadn't been wet all week by the water of the word. Amen? Like Brother Louise said, we know one thing's for sure. Water's wet. I like that. Water's wet. There's no mystery. Well, you know what? This gospel is the truth. There's no mystery. We're in the right place. And I'm not talking about sitting here now. I'm talking about the right message of the hour. We're in the message of the hour, so let's just live it out. Because you know what? One thing's for sure, and I'll read it in just a minute. When those people were called disciples, Jesus called them disciples, right? You know what? That word, if you break it down, that word disciple means discipline. They were disciplined to what Jesus was saying. There was a group of people that wasn't. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they were not disciplined to what Jesus was saying. But the disciples, even though they didn't know every little A and in D, they stayed there long enough to where God prayed for them. Jesus prayed for them in John 17, as we read many times before. He prayed for that group of people and me and you that we would make it.
Yes.
All right, what's the mystery? The mystery of this whole thing is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is going to be in you, not coming back in human flesh until the millennium. So it's all laying on a group of Gentiles, bride, and a group of Jews, 144,000. That's all that's left. Everybody with me? There's no more prophets to come. No more church ages to come. No more messengers. Right? There's none of that. This is it. This is the finish. The final voice to the final age. Under our messenger. Not under Luther. Not under Wesley. Not under Pentecost. Under our messenger. That we, I hope, we're sitting here today agreeing with that God sent us a messenger. So that, you know what? So that he can spawn church. Listen, they wasn't a message church when Brother Branham was here. They were still Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. All some came out. You had some independents and different ones. But remember, when Brother Branham died, a lot of them went right back to their denomination. Because there was nowhere else to go. All right? But thank God there was people like Brother Moe, Brother Dale, different ones in the 60s. Brother Mike Canada, different ones. And if I miss somebody, I'm sorry. But take these warriors of faith that caught the message, at least caught part of it, and brought it to the people. Thank God. That's how he works. God's going to do that. He's going to have a bride, whether we want to be it or not. All right? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach.
Amen.
You have heard in this church, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not just an anointing. It's not just we love the message, and we love Brother Dale, and we love Brother so-and-so this, and singing, and we love this. That don't have one thing to do with it. It's the love of God, the Bible says, that's shed abroad in your heart. All right? So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And that's where we get into godliness, that is the perfection. And as Brother Louis said, here's the same quote from Statue of Perfect Man. Brother Brown said, oh, yes, you can. Oh, I can't, Brother Branham. Oh, yes, you can. You know what? To me, that's thus saith the Lord. That's thus saith the Lord through a prophet that says, yes, you can. The door has been opened where you can what receive and not receive like Luther and Wesley. They were all closed doors. We're open doors. To what? To the truth. Not to error. To the truth. Oh, yes, you can. Then we've been talking about deity. It fell on the day of Pentecost. We love that. Oh, fell on, 120 upper room and 3,000 downstairs. And oh, praise the Lord, they spoke in tongues and they baptized them. It fell here too. It's still falling. But what the whole thing is, that deity that fell on the day of Pentecost is the same that you got today, plus the anointing of the age. Everybody with me? Plus the anointing of the age. Not another Holy Ghost, but plus the open book. Because even on the day of Pentecost, they weren't working under an open book. They didn't understand what the seals were. Weren't supposed to. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That was good enough for them at the moment. And they carried that on and they healed the sick, raised the dead. What's our problem? Well, praise the Lord anyway. Book of Words, original seed said, they only do his will. He's talking about pick up your pen and write. So this is the Holy Ghost writing to me and you. All right. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. Now, see, we have been persuaded. Not we, but I say the message of the hour has been persuaded into all these different factions and all these different ideas about the message of the hour. Amen?
Yeah. Right.
But Brother Brown said, they have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. In other words, if you have thus saith the Lord, yeah, move. If we don't have thus saith the Lord, sit still. Amen. All right? Then they will do the works of God. What is it? The gospel, the preaching of the word of God. For it is himself in them.
Amen.
All right? It's himself in them, not an anointing. This world is anointed. But you and I have come through a birth. As he did complete in his day. All things when he was here. He did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. So what is the completion of the gospel or the word of God? It's me and you sitting here today. There is not another. I just don't believe, Brother Donnie, there's going to be another generation. If we're here another 40 years, about 90% of us ain't going to be here. Right? I hope that don't happen. I'm praying that this generation will see the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Through a group of people. They're not going to see the coming of the Lord in a cloud.
Right.
You know, split open the east. No, they're going to see it in a group of people.
Right.
And they're going to be, Brother Brown said, just for a moment, there'll be a powerful group. I believe when we get toward the end of this thing, when we get toward the body change, nothing's going to harm us.
Come
death out. Will just be something that you talk about,
right.
Not something you're scared of. And to the doctrine which is according to godliness. What is a doctrine? A set of ideas or beliefs that are taught or believed to be true. And that's what I was saying just a few minutes ago. We have a doctrine here at this church. Everybody has a doctrine.
Amen.
All right? We have a doctrine. Brother Brown said every church needs a doctrine to be a very successful Christian to be first step in successful Christianity, is to show that man has received the Holy Spirit is humility. All right? Do it in humbleness, real God-given humility. Now, I want you to remember, humility is not having no backbone, though. Because Brother Branham, I believe he caught that, and he said, oh, wait a minute, it must be humble. But, yet, a church without a doctrine is like a jellyfish. It has no backbone. So we've got to have backbone in it. It's to be given humbly, but it's not to be smacked around and used any way you want to. No, it's going to have a purpose. And not also backbone, but it's got teeth. Amen? Because the church of God must eat the bread of life. Romans 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. How many of us are not ashamed of the gospel? I'm not ashamed of this thing that we're in. I'm not ashamed of that. Of the gospel of Christ. For what? There's your power. To not be ashamed is power. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We'll get to this in just a minute. We talked a little bit last time about the filter and this veil. We understand that if we in the Garden of Eden, if we've been driven out, I say we, when Adam and Eve got driven out, we got driven out with them. All right, everybody with me? Nobody stayed in the Garden of Eden. They got driven out. We got driven out with them. But there was a promise in Genesis 3:15 that we were going to go back. That he was going to come what and condescend to a baby, die for us, and then take us back home. All God was, he poured into Christ, Christ in the church. Hallelujah. Take her back to the Garden of Eden. So back to an Eden condition. So what was it in Eden? The reason they didn't know they were naked, because there was a Holy Ghost veil on them from nakedness. So we need a Holy Ghost veil for that, plus other things. All right? They didn't know it. Now listen. There is no way. I'm just going to be plain. There's no way you can look at somebody and not see that they're naked. Not now. Because we're out from under that veil. Alright? But now remember, there's a group of people, though, that thinks they have clothes on. Alright, Revelations. Thou art blind, wretched, miserable, naked, and don't know it. That's the perversion that has come from the garden. But listen, we're not caught in that. Praise God. We've been brought above that. We have that Holy Ghost veil now back on us. I really believe that. We have that Holy Ghost veil. Now you say, well, now we still have problems. Amen. But your soul by the baptism of the Holy Ghost will not look at a naked somebody. And when we say naked, we don't mean just unclothed. We mean unclothed in other things like gospel and all the different things outside. All right? Because the Bible says in the end time they'll be naked. But they won't know it. All right? But we'll know it. But we're going back to where the Holy Ghost put a veil over their eyes. They see nothing but their brother and sister see. Now this is a key, because this is what we're coming to in brotherly kindness. Because there's a real fine line, more fine than my finger, between filial love, lust down this way. Because you know what? You can say, I love my brother and love my sister and love them wrong. If you love them filio, that's where people get in trouble with adulteries. Because you have to be careful. Even as a minister, you don't. Ministers, and do not be caught in a room with a woman by yourself. Try not to. If you're going to talk to somebody, talk out in public. But if somebody wants to talk to me, a sister, June goes with me. Because you just don't know. It's like Brother Gary Longoria said. He said, it's not you that we don't trust, it's the devil. We don't trust him. We don't trust the devil. So we don't want to do that. We want to do everything what? Be brothers and sisters. Shake a hand. Say God bless you. And do like Brother Ernie Villanueva told Mama. He said, sister, I said, I love you, Sister Peggy, so much, I'd give you a hug. He said, but I can't. He said, but I'll give you one in a millennium. All right, well, he's over there waiting in the sixth dimension, okay? He's waiting over there, and I'm sure he's been hugging everybody. That man's a hugger. But that's all right with me. I don't mind. If it's done in a proper way, it's holy and without blame. But if it's done in an unholy way, now look. Now the spirit of unholiness, uncleanness, and lust has veiled them. Education, science, all right? So that's what the prophet said to us. Now, I want to cover one thing, this right here, real quick, because I think it's important to understand when we talk about what happened in the Old Testament as far as anointings and as far as them not having the new birth. See, that's a strange doctrine to a lot of people, too. You talk to people in the message even. They say, oh, yeah, Abraham was born again. No, Abraham was not born again. Moses was not born again. That was the issue in the Old Testament. No one could get born again. blood of an animal. It only covered their sin. The sin was still there. But now the blood of Jesus Christ, remember, holy.
Yes.
Unblameable. All right. The only way you can do that is take it away. Amen. Everybody with me? So now Genesis 1:26. We go back to this scripture, and you know I love it. But you continue pulling the layers off, the onion peel. You keep peeling the onion, you keep getting the same thing. Keep getting onion. Don't matter how thin it is. So this, to me, the statue of perfect man, this is the key to understand Genesis 1:26. That God said, let us make man in our image. So now, if we look at that, and we look at it with just normal eyes, then the world, and even most denominations, will tell you that's every human being that was ever on the face of the earth. That's not. Brother Branham was real clear about that. That's not every human being. That's only the redeemed. That's only his children. Listen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Samson, all the different ones, that they're not the children of God. They're not his genealogy. They are in the economy of God.
Yes, sir.
They are and will be given eternal life. Amen? And they will have a seat and a position because the 12 patriarchs. All right, you got your 12 disciples. Now, we know they were born again. But then you got your 12 patriarchs that are over here in the Old Testament. They weren't born again. But they're what? They're given eternal life. They have a position. A position in God. And we'll look at it in just a second. But it said, let us make man in our image. So whatever he made, it was in the image of God. It looked like God, acted like God, and was a part of God. All right? Amen? And let them have dominion. So he gave them a power. He gave them a dominion to have over the whole, the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, cattle. We understand. Let's keep going. So God created whoever, whatever this person is. God said, here, you're in my image. I have give you power over this world. Not the cosmos, I'm sorry, but the dirt, the world. And even actually, Adam ran the economy of the world. He ran everything. So God created man in his own image. So whatever that was done, we know that word created is not, it's formed, it's not created, because it always was a part of God. What he done was, he said, okay, I'm going to have some kids that's going to look like me. Here they are. God alone by himself. With his thoughts. Before the foundation of the world. Before anything was even formed. Before there was a star, moon, angel. We were here. He said, I'm going to make somebody that's like me that's come out just like me. And there he is. He's in my image. He looks like me. He acts like me. He is me. Only God can do that. I can act like dad, look like dad, and all these different things, but I have my own DNA. I have my own person, right? But now we through the fall, got our own personality, but what's it doing? Come on, people. It's working our way back to that image. Because when you got born again, this image came into your soul. And it burned the old image out. Didn't kill your soul. Burn it out. Listen, God can burn and not kill.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't there some Hebrew children in a furnace one time? Talk about a body change. I've walked around some real hot furnaces and grills and some real hot fire, and I mean red hot. Jim's dad used to have a fire at Thanksgiving, and that poor old he took two big tire inner things of a tractor trailer, welded them together, and we used to make that thing red hot. You could touch it with a stick on the outside and it would burn. Well, you know what? The Hebrew children, they met that. Times about 100, because I'm sure there wasn't no little old bitty furnace that all three of them had to struggle to get in. No, it was a big old furnace with big old doors, because when they opened the doors up, it killed the ones that were around him. Talk about a body change. See, that's a precursor to me and you. It's not going to matter if they shoot bombs all over the place. And if you're in a glorified body, ain't going to hurt you. Because it's not going to hurt that one inside. Because that was made in His image. This is eternal as God is because it came from God. It was formed from God into an image. And what happened was we lost that image in the garden. Adam didn't lose eternal life. He lost the ability to produce that image over and over again. Everybody with me? All right? He lost the Godship to that degree that him and Eve could not bring forth any children the way they were supposed to. Because the womb of her mind and the womb of her body was polluted, and God couldn't said, okay, hang on a minute. I got to put this back. I need to save this. But I'm going to anoint a group of people. I'm going to anoint a Moses and a Samson and an Abraham and a Jacob. I'm going to anoint them and make them examples of this that's coming. Because I can't put this in a womb now. I'm talking about this womb. I can't put it in this womb now. Everybody with me? You're going to have to come through the normal womb or the perverted womb. You're going to have to come by childbearing and all those other things. Everybody with me on this? Yeah. But that's the character, though, that when we got born again, that's the character that we got. We got that thing. Yeah. Let's call it a thing. The Bible did. That thing in you. Yeah. Right. All right? That thing that's in you is that Genesis 1:26 man. Amen. No less, no more. Amen. But it's encapsulated inside of your not glorified body. That's why sin is so bad. Even when you attach eternity to your human body, you still got problems. You still got spirit problems. You still got flesh problems. But not soul problems if you're born again. Listen, if you're not born again, you got all three problems. Soul, body, and spirit. Paul said, I wish that what? Your soul, body, and spirit be blameless. Now, he didn't come to that. You and I, that was a prophecy for us to come to.
Yes, man.
Listen, it's not just, it's a requirement. Like these verses, it's a requirement. But God's already given us the plan. Everybody with me on that? So male and female created he them, but he couldn't put them in flesh yet. He could only anoint. He'd take a piece of that. Because listen, whatever Moses did, we'll look at it right here. David, all these different ones, these, hold on a minute, these heroes of faith. They're all them are pretty much in Hebrews 11, which is the hall of fame of faith, right? But they all had flaws. They all had flaws because they had power without character. Moses had power. To deliver the children of Israel. But he didn't have the character of God or he wouldn't have killed that Egyptian. He got so mad, he killed that Egyptian. So he became a murderer. But yet God still would anoint him so much they'd have to look away from him because his face shines so much from the glory of God. And whatever Moses said, Brother Brown said, whatever Moses said, that's what God did. He said, flies came. Fleas come. Amen? So he had power, but he didn't have the character to go with it. There had to be one that was holding the character. David would not have been a murderer and an adulterer. But he was anointed for the kingship. Remember, the time that when he went to Bathsheba, he was already king. Samuel had already anointed him. Remember, Samuel goes and there's seven sons there, you know, and he looks at each one. He doesn't feel any anointing. He said, hey, God sent me here. Have you got another one around here somewhere? He said, oh, man, I got this little, my baby. My least one, he's around there. He smells like sheep. We probably need to wash him before he comes in. You know, because all those other brothers, the Bible said, were men of war. Because remember, they got on David's skin when David went into the camp. They're like, come on, sissy, get out of here. Right? What are you here for? Well, he was there because he was anointed. And that anointing didn't come off of him. But remember, he was a murderer. And he was an adulterer. Samson, he had a Nazarite vow. God anointed him so much to, like somebody said the other day, he wasn't this big Samson, this great big Arnold Schwarzenegger looking thing. He was, you know, he looked like Ryan maybe.
Right.
Skinny, pale.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord anyway.
Yeah.
We love Ryan. You know that. But he's about the skinniest one in the building. He needs to eat. Boy needs to eat. So, but Samson was, that was the marvel. Why do you think they were trying to track him down and find out where his power came from? But remember, he had power, but no character to go with it. Because the character he had was, he was a womanizer. And he let a woman take him down. He was disobedient to that Nazarite vow through a woman deceiving him. All right? Abraham, what did he do? He gave his wife away twice. Laughed at God. But yet God anointed him to be the father of our faith. Everybody with me? All right. Didn't have the Genesis 1:26, man. If not, then this character would have changed. The character of the Old Testament would have changed if this would have been in him. This Genesis 1:26, man. This new birth. This Holy Ghost inside of you, not anointing you. Because remember, you can be anointed by the pure baptism of the Holy Ghost and die and go to hell. Anointed. But you can't have this inside your soul and be lost. All right? So Jacob, shyster, tripper-upper. He was, him and Laban, back and forth with each other. He just was not an honest guy. But God loved Jacob. But remember, Jacob had to have a name change. He had to be changed to Israel as a prince with God or a limping prince. But he had a flaw. Noah died a drunk. Great man. Remember, in the beginning of Noah's life, he walked with God. Right? Walk before me and be perfect. Noah was what? Perfect in the eyes of God. Or he lived right. But look at the end of his life. He died a drunk. Saul? Wow. Saul was the man of the hour. He was like this real big basketball player looking thing, taller than anybody else, good looking guy, but he didn't have it in his heart really to be a king because he turned everything down almost that Samuel told him. He did the opposite. Then Nathan told him what to do. He did the opposite. He never was obedient to the word of God for the hour. Does that sound familiar? So you see what you get. You get a Saul. But now remember, he was so anointed until he prophesied, and David said, "Touch not mine anointed." Yes. Listen, Saul's going to be in heaven.
Right.
As bad as we look at him and as bad as we look at all these, they're going to be in heaven with eternal life, living with us. Now, we're going to have to talk to Saul a little bit longer, higher, because he's up here, but that's okay. But he's going to be in heaven. Elisha, he must have had a pretty quick temper. But he had an anointing. Remember, it came off of Elijah. And it fell on Elisha. But it was power without character. And they said, "Hey, old bald head." And he turned around and he cursed them. And children were eat up by bears. Because of Elisha. But he was anointed for the time. Amen. I'm going to do a sermon one day on anointed for the time, because we're anointed for the time too. But those in the Old Testament were anointed for their time. And the Bible tells them, look, it says they're examples. They're examples for us. We're not to act like David totally. We're not to act like Noah. We're not to act like them totally. We're to use pieces in their life. Examples.
Yes.
Amen.
But they didn't receive the promise according to Hebrews 11. We have a better thing. We had this come. In a man. Look, God in flesh had to come to bring power with character. Think about that. God had to come in human flesh. That's why he could condescend to give us the character of God. You know what? To get this guy out. To where he could be on display.
Yes.
This is the display of God.
Yes.
Adam and Eve were supposed to be the display of God.
Yes.
That's what they were put there for. And that Genesis 1:26, man, was put inside of them to be a display of the character of God. But they messed it up. God had to take that character back and just then show a little piece in Noah, a little piece in David, a little piece in different ones that we've got listed here. There's different ones, different pieces. But remember, the whole piece showed up. The headstone showed up. Not just part truth, not just an anointing, but the man. God in flesh had to come to bring power with character. Because Brother Brown, remember what he said? Power without character is satanic. You saying they act like Satan? Yeah, they act like Satan. Listen, God don't commit adultery. God don't kill somebody out of malice like David did and the different ones. That was the devil that anointed them to do those things. Because there was not this in there to keep them. Today you have this to keep you. Like I said before, that spiritual rudder. The boat's still there. You just received a rudder that turns you away from those things. Where Moses, I think of Moses a lot of times because Moses is the one, remember, he was brought up from a baby, told by his mama he was a deliverer. Remember, Brother Ram, he tells the whole story. His mama, God put his mama there to nurse him, raise him up, tell him who he was. But now remember, what was Moses' interpretation of that? Not wait on God. His interpretation of that was, I got to do it now. I think I'll take over. I'm going to learn to be a military man. He was shrewd. I'm going to learn to be the next guy to Pharaoh. Because, see, somewhere in that line, he got adopted because, remember, he was next in line. And he had what? He had the people under him. Brother Ram said he could could raise an army up. And that was in his mentality, but what? He had power without character.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. And that spilled over into him killing an Egyptian, not waiting on the plan of God, but killing an Egyptian. And remember, it took him 40 more years to get back to that same place.
That's right.
But he had something a little different. He had an anointing. He met a burning bush. And when he met that burning bush, God said, I'll go with you. I'll give you what you need. It's time now. But remember, who cried out for the deliverer? The people. The people cried out for a deliverer. Israel cried out for a deliverer. Look. See, God can condescend, but Satan cannot. Satan wants to be haughty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God. We read about him all the time. All right, and he is anointed. He is the anointed cherub. So God anointed him, but he used the anointing wrong. That's the only way I can explain to the devil. Because the Bible says, through God's lips, through a prophet, says you are have been created the anointed cherub. You're the one that covereth. You're the one that walketh up and down. You're the one that does this. You're the one that does that. Right? He didn't have. He wasn't self-anointed. He was anointed by God. But he chose to take that anointing and use it different. To be his own person. To have his own army. To have his own what? His own group. That's why he went to the angels. He needed a little bit more power. He couldn't get enough power in his own self. He had to go out here and get a group. Isn't that the way the devil is?
Yeah.
He really don't work by himself. How many times Brother Dale told you don't sin alone? Right? Amen? If you sneak around on Weight Watchers and you go get you some ice cream, somebody's got to be there with you. Sister Jim, bless your heart. And then they look at you and say, we don't sin alone, do we? Praise the Lord. But you don't. You don't. Listen, you always affect somebody else. Think about it. When you sin, you affect yourself, but you always affect somebody else. All right? So think about that. And that's the way Satan is. Let's just take that effect out of the way, though. Let's bring power with character. And it'll kind of turn us around as we're talking, getting toward brotherly kindness. Because if I don't read it today, I'll read it to you this afternoon. The two greatest commandments, Jesus said, if you can't do 10.
Come on.
Isn't that what he was saying?
Right.
Master, what's the greatest of the commandments? Oh, surely it's thou shalt not kill. Surely it's thou shalt not steal. Surely it's this. He said, hold on a minute. He said the two greatest commandments. What were they? Believe in one God with all your mind, soul, and spirit, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I'll read it tonight. He said, in those two commandments hangs everything. The law and the prophets. Everything hangs on you doing those two commandments. And the second one fits right in with brotherly kindness. Amen? We'll get to that maybe in a second. But see, the religious order of the day, what did they say? Listen, this was God in human flesh. This was God that came the way the Old Testament said he would come.
That's right.
But what did the religious order of the day say? You can't be God.
Right.
You can't be God. Ain't that what the world's saying today? Like I said before, you start talking to people about holiness today and about godliness today, they say, you ain't perfect and I ain't perfect. I got these flaws and I can say, I can cuss a little bit and I can do this a little bit. Richard sent me something he got behind a car. Only them can get behind a car that says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. So he sends it to me and he said, this is what you've been preaching on? But the religious order of the day says we can't be God. So we're just going to be normal. We're not going to live above. We're not going to have a standard above the world. We're just going to live like them. And let's agree with the world. But when we go to church, let's clean it off and get that cussing out of our mouth. But what the religious order of the day, if God in human flesh were standing there telling them everything about himself, right? Right? And what he's going to do to me and you. What about today? The religious order of the day is going to do the same thing. You can't be God. Because they don't know what the true new birth is. If you have the new birth today, if you get born again in 5 seconds from right now, truly get born again, you're just as eternal as God is. You're just as perfect as God is. You have no spot. You have no wrinkle. Your robe is white. Instantly. Oh, yeah, we know it takes a process. I didn't talk about justification, sanctification. I just said if you get born again today. All right? Your walk continues up and you get born again today, you have that person inside of you. And the religious order of the day is going to say, I can cuss a little and still be like God. No, if God don't cuss, and for those of you that live up north, if you're watching from Ohio, cuss is curse. We just say cuss in the south. Because Granny always says, quit cussing. Everybody all right? But the religious order of the day is going to say the same thing about me and you. But we have power with character. They may have power. Sure, they may be healing. They may feel emotion. They may feel the presence of God. And be sitting there with short hair and a pair of shorts on. Praise God. But it's just going to be temporary. Because you're going to go back to cussing again. Or whatever. I just say cussing because that's what we've been talking about. It's really strange to have. So would you see somebody that would make something like that and put it on your car? That's how bold people are. I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. And I let the whole world know it. Go, it's on the back of my car. And if you get too close, guess what? I'm going to prove that point. I'm going to cuss you out. But the religious order of the day is going to do the same thing to me and you. We sit here today, and I was thinking about it this morning. All of you come to church, and we do the things of church, all right? We're Christians. And we believe, I hope, we believe, as a bride of Jesus Christ, that we're it. We're it. There's no other standard to live by except what me and you know right now. Everybody with me, it's not a Baptist standard. You look at the Baptists now. I was talking to Jeannie the other day, the little girl that cuts her hair. Well, the Methodists, they're split because of the LGBT thing, putting women in the pulpit and all that stuff, and gays. Well, that's their business.
Amen.
But thank God there's a group that come out. Could be foolish version in there. Right. All right. Now that demon's done jumped over into the Baptist. And now they're splitting because some of them are letting women preach. Now, Baptists, a true Baptist. I'm talking about a true Baptist that's diehard Baptist knows that a woman's not supposed to be in this pulpit.
That's right.
Because it's biblical. It's the Bible, and that's what they built it. And especially not deacons or elders or nothing. Now, thank God for the Baptist church for holding on to that. But remember, now there's a group that's pulled out. Big church up here in Gainesville is letting women be us. They have so many pastors. I got pastors for this in the denominational world. But I told Jeannie, she said, now y'all don't believe in that. I said, no. I said, it don't take somebody to have to call me and tell me that either. I don't have to get a letter of recommendation that says either let them or don't. I said, Paul sent me a letter 2,000 years ago. And praise God it didn't get hung up in the mail. It's in every one of your pocket. If you got a phone with a Bible on it, that tells you plainly that a woman's not supposed to usurp any authority. And you know what? Women, you ought to say praise God.
Amen.
That's something you don't have to deal with. It's what Jesus always said. That's just something I ain't got to worry about.
Amen.
I may feel like I need to talk to the women, or, you know, which is fine. But to shepherd a group of people? No, I'm sorry. It's not built that way.
Amen.
We're not built to have kids. You are. So you're not built to be a pastor. We are.
Amen.
I'm not trying to meddle, but we know that. We didn't come in this church to hear me give you some new doctrine that we don't believe women should be preachers. Paul told us. That was an old sermon. That's 2,000 years ago. And that sermon is still there. It's still in print. So what I told Jeannie, I said, I ain't going to have nobody send me a letter.
Right.
She said, I think people ought to be independent. I said, well, where are you? I didn't say that, but I'd like to say that. She's a good, phenomenal Christian girl. She just tries to live it as much as she can. And Dad's talked to her a little bit, and she just can't see that part. But as far as a nominal Christian, she goes to church all the time. She works. She works in the church. Does a lot of stuff. But she knows her place, too. So she knows. It doesn't matter. You know, I said, well, what about your pastor? She said, well, he knows the difference. That a woman's not supposed to preach or usurp any authority in church. And she said, we're good with that. I said, well, now the church up here in Gainesville, the big one up there, they allowed a woman to be a minister, one of the ministers of the church. And that's the Southern Baptist Union or whatever it is, people are trying to pull away from that. Because of that. Because of a truth that they can't stand. Because it's the devil that's trying to give them power without character. Because a Holy Ghost filled woman will never get in a pulpit. A Holy Ghost filled woman will never want to be a deacon. A Holy Ghost filled woman will never want to usurp any authority in a church. I said a Holy Ghost filled woman. And a Holy Ghost filled man ought to know his place. In the church. I don't know why that was free. But anyway. So let's look for a minute, brotherly kindness. But it's the truth. We don't have to sit here and worry whether our, what do they call them? Convention. If you go to a convention, we're going to have a convention, all right. But it's going to be in the millennium. We're going to have a convention over there. But we ain't got to go to a convention to figure out what we believe.
Amen.
Because it's in the Bible.
Right.
Plainly in the Bible. But you take these people like Joyce Myers and all these different ones that are just out hugely famous. And they just hang on every word from these. And her hair's short as mine.
Yeah.
Got fishing lures in her hanging out of her ears. Right, Danny? I've seen pretty fishing lures and I have some of the things they wear off. I mean, it just drags. Why would you do that? Because it's an anointing. She's anointed.
Yes.
She's yielded herself to a wrong anointing, though.
Yes.
Sure, it may be the Holy Ghost anointing her because she does read the Bible, but it ain't anointing her to tell you you can cut your hair or tell you there's no way God can go against His Word. No ways. We can put everything we have on that one thing. He will never go against His Word. He'll never back up. He'll never change it either. Wow. But can't we just lay our solace on that? That I don't have to go to church next Sunday and wonder whether somebody's told me that I need to let women in the pulpit, or I need to let a gay or a lesbian lead my people. We should be ecstatic that we don't have to worry about that. We've come under, not just the message of the hour, we've come under the true biblical Word of God. The true biblical Word of God. Where there is no, and listen, our sisters don't fight that. Listen, the problem with them, I say them, the problem with that anointing or that see, they have an anointing of a Baptist. A Baptist has an anointing. Methodist has an anointing, different ones. They've used the Word of God different ways. All right, we don't have, there's not a sister, I hope not, sitting in this congregation that's going, I sure would like to get up there because he is just so boring. I can say a lot better than he can. Well, some of you are not even shaking your head. Some of you are like going to the chiropractor. Yeah. See it on Facebook. Anyway, so, but that spirit had to pop its head up in a congregation. That there is a woman sitting in the congregation that thinks that she can talk better than the guy standing in the pulpit. Right? Because that's where that comes from. That's where that motivation's coming from. And if you don't have what? Now look, if you don't have a strong pastor or a strong person that stands back here to deliver the Word of God, guess what he's going to do? Well, okay, sister, I think maybe you are a little bit more anointed than I am. You step on up here and sister's going to deliver the message today. The only way a woman's going to stand in this pulpit is the bride of Jesus Christ. And that is it. I'm talking about the male part. But remember, we're all female in the body. But now, see, you say that, and then everybody says, well, now we done, bro, wait, you can throw it all in the pot, and we can all come out now. Don't change what Paul said.
Absolutely.
It does not change what Paul said. Paul said, and we believe it.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, brotherly kindness, just for about 2 minutes. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue of knowledge, and all these temperance. We've been through all these. Temperance, patience, the patience, godliness, and the godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. And we know that Philadelphia, that means brotherly love. And as we were talking before, it's not brotherly love that turns into lust. All right? It's not even brotherly love, a filial love, at the point of you loving your wife or you loving your kids and all that. Everybody got that? So we have to differentiate that, though. All right? So it's love of brothers or sisters. In the New Testament, it's the love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. All right? That kind of goes to show you, just for a minute, you look over in the Old Testament, you see Sodom and Gomorrah. That's where the word sodomy comes from, because all you adults know what happened in that city. All right? Sodom and Gomorrah. Old Testament. Can't control themselves. That's what it is. Just an uncontrolled passion or lust. Now, you come over, though, and you come to where Jesus comes, and He give us the passion of Him, the passion of Christ, or the love of God, the agape love. All right? So He set the standard. All right, first three church ages, that standard held. No water baptism in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No eternal hell. No Trinity. That all held. But they lost. The Bible didn't say they lost their first doctrine. What did it say? You've lost your first love. You've lost your first agape. In other words, you've lost Jesus Christ. So now it got lost so much, to look at the other end of the bookend. You got a Sodom and Gomorrah here again.
Oh, yes.
Same thing. You got a Sodom and Gomorrah right here again, just like that Sodom and Gomorrah that was over there. And listen, that's what Brother Brown said. God would have to raise up that Sodom and apologize if you don't destroy this one.
Right.
All right. But remember, he's going to take us out. He even took Lot. Lot was the type of the what? Nominal believer? Yes. He went top of the bride. The bride was Abraham sitting up on the hill that didn't go down there. But Lot made it. He had a righteous soul. That's what the Bible says. But he got took out before the destruction. So everybody with me on that. So God is love. But love typically produces obedience. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We'll close right here. Come on, musicians, come on. Let's all stand. And for all who refuse to repent and believe in Christ. You see, we love everybody. That's the whole thing of Christianity in the nominal world is God is love. And that's what the Bible says. God is love. But they put no correction in it. They put power in that scripture without the character to look and say, but he is a just God. He's not a greasy God. He gives you grace. He doesn't give you greasy grace. For all those who refuse to repent and believe in Christ, they receive justice. For those who do trust in Christ, they receive what they don't deserve. And that's what it is, grace. And have withheld what they really did deserve, which is mercy. We need mercy and grace. Which side are you on? Do you have eternal life, or do you still have the wrath of God abiding, I want to say, in you? Not on you, but in you. Without the Holy Ghost, that's what you have. Let's sing a song. Matthew 24 says, the love of many shall wax cold.
I have heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. And I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died.
If you have a need,
draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with